You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I wonder why they call it polymorph when it always turns enemies into one thing.
And Daryl.
They should have called it something like monomorph, or that spell that turns people into sheep.
Greetings and welcome to episode 180 of The Training Dummies, recorded on November 15th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and I've had the high of highs today and the low of lows today. High of highs, I got a new car. Low of lows, my septic system backed up, and I had to spend a lot of money on a brand new pump for that, and that really sucks.
Good
Rob, Lord, yeah, yeah, I know. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
You went from the cloud to the pooper, like all
literally
right there, right?
Yes. That's been my day. I ended up taking the whole day off work just to deal with both of those things today. So, yeah.
Shoot, man. I feel like I can't even complain, really. I was going to say, like, my work has moved to a new office, and it's one of these big open office fishbowl, like, hey, everybody, we're pretending to be Google 15 years ago kind of thing.
Nice.
And the whole thing really, like, if I had to make an analogy for it, it kind of feels like, you know, like, when you pull a hangnail off and it just like pulls off way too much and it sucks, like that's kind of what it like. That's what it's like right now.
Wow, that's very
disgusting. Good news is that's the last of that we're going to be talking about, because we have a super rad guest tonight. So like we're going to get right back into. A few people have been asking, I believe, why haven't you finished your Stay Classy episodes, Rob? And I'm like, well, because I'm busy pulling off hangnails, man. That's done. We're getting back. Wow. And if we can have a warm Training Dummies welcome for Serafita.
Hi, thank you.
If that doesn't make you feel like welcome and home, then I don't know what does. But thank you so much for taking some time to come and join us tonight, Serafita. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty great. You know, getting ready for Thanksgiving next week and Christmas next month and everything, so busy.
American Thanksgiving, right? Because
my Thanksgiving was like a month and a half ago.
Well, I feel like at this point, with the amount of people on the raid team and the amount of like folks that we're connected to, I feel like I'm like, am I honorary Canadian? Am I like half, or like is that just like wishful thinking? Or
yeah, you could be if you started saying a little bit more a.
A. All right. That's it?
There you go. Just A. You got it.
I have to drink milk out of a bag or like anything.
Nah,
like
that. That's Eastern. That's Eastern Canada. Even I don't
know. I love poutine. Like
well, there you go.
But I don't know if that's like an Americanized version of it. Like the waffle fries with poutine gravy on it. Yeah. Get me in there. Nice. All right. I'm feeling it. I'm at least 40% now. So
yes.
Serafita, let's get this train back on the rails here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do in gaming and Blizzard and you know, the kind of the community in general.
Well, it's kind of more like what don't I do at this point, or what haven't I done? I started playing WoW and was introduced to Blizzard games in 2005 when I was in college. I started watching a friend of mine who lived in the dorm down the hall from me raid MC a couple times a week, and I was like, this game looks really cool. You know, and I had only played like Ragnarok Online and Guild Wars, but I wanted to try out WoW. I was like, this looks fun. I need to try this. And so I bought the box, you know, the Game of the Year edition, which I still have.
Nice.
And I just kind of started playing, had no idea what I was doing. I left after a few months because I just didn't really get the hang of it, but I came back about 6 months later, re-rolled a new character, stayed all the way through BC. You know, of course, as soon as Burning Crusade came out, had to roll a Blood Elf because they're so pretty. And
yes,
so I rolled a Blood Elf Mage, and I have not looked back since. Like, that has been my main since
I think then. I have a problem, because if I'm rolling a new tune and Blood Elf is one of the options, it's always female Blood Elf, always.
Yeah,
I mean, female Blood Elf's are the best. It was pandas for a while, but like then I went back to my Blood Elf roots.
And since 2005, I've kind of like expanded with what I do as far as Blizzard gaming. I play all of the games very casually now. And I stream World of Warcraft a lot. I cosplay. I've been in the BlizzCon costume contest a couple times. And I now work in esports. I am the social media manager for Rockets Esports. We have two WoW Arena teams. And I'm starting to get into PvP because it's like, hey, I'd like to actually understand what's going on with this. Because I used to be just kind of a casual raider. But now I do more PvP stuff.
I respect that, and I probably will never do it, but I think that's awesome. I don't know. Daryl and I kind of dipped into PvP for a little bit. What was it in Mists?
Mists, I think. You know, and thinking of some of those matches, because you even have the one, it's like, man, that'd be fun to do again, do some 2v2 again with Rob. But
yeah, but isn't that what, like, Heroes and
yeah, that's true. Before now? Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. Serafita, what do you think? Is WoW PvP alive and kicking, or have like some of these other titles come in and kind of dethroned the player versus player aspect of it?
I feel like WoW PvP is back on the rise. You know, because you're seeing a lot more teams and a lot more esports organizations pick up arena teams now and come back to the competitive scene. And a lot more people are participating in arenas, especially 3v3, because that is what Blizzard uses for the arena championship and everything. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, Battlegrounds themselves are becoming a lot more fun, even casually, because Blizzard is kind of pushing more events for those, and they're making it a little bit easier to get the gear to do them, even though they're technically did away with PvP gear. You know, you can still get the pretty PvP appearances.
Do you feel like the whole rise of like Mythic Dungeon stuff, do you feel like that had an impact now on any of the PvP content?
I think it might have. I'm not sure like exactly how they tie in together, except for now, obviously, the Mythic Dungeon Invitational is considered an esport, you know, because they have the TESPA tournament for it. They had the MDI a few weeks ago as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Blizzard seems to be kind of like building up the Mythic Dungeons to be where PvP is now, as far as esports goes, and just kind of like bringing it to the forefront, making it relevant again, which would be really cool.
I completely derailed what we were going to talk about with the whole thing, but, and I don't regret it because it's good stuff, but,
yes,
but yeah, it's, so you have just kind of moved around from podcasting to the cosplay, to streaming, to now being the social media manager. Now, where are you going to go next? Sounds like you're
I don't know. I'm actually really happy doing social media for Rockets Esports. They're a really great esports organization. They're a lot of fun to work with, and we have a lot of really great players. I'm just looking forward to seeing where we expand with that in 2018.
Awesome. Sounds good. Daryl, do you have any other questions?
About this? No, not at the moment, I don't think. Anyway, I'm ready to get started on the next Stay Classy, though, because it's been a while since we've done one, and these really are a favorite type of show that we've done, because I'm learning about all these classes that I really love the story of Warcraft, but I didn't play these classes, so I'm getting to hear the story without having to take the time, or the time I don't have, to actually play these. So yeah, I'm excited to get going on this.
Awesome.
This is Seraphis, a.k.a. the Lord of Bacon, from such mediocre things like the Sundering Podcast, and from some a little bit better than mediocre stuff like Calm Before the Storm, and you're self-medicating with Rob and Daryl from the Training Dummies.
If you have any questions or comments or want to find out what we are doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. And I'm super hyped to continue our Stay Classy series tonight with the Mage story. So, Seraphita, why don't you kick it off for us?
Just wait, Rob. This is new, and I see you skipped right over it, but I'm going to play this first.
Shoot. Oh, shoot.
Wait, what? What do you mean there's lore in this game? You guys actually paid someone to write a story about Raynor meeting Diablo?
We should swap stories sometime.
My story mirrors that of all orcs, a tale of savagery and redemption. Perhaps one day I shall tell it to you.
Clearly you haven't heard my story.
Oh, yes. I have many, many stories to tell. Would you like to hear one? $9.95 per minute.
Yeah, the best part was I knew that was coming and I completely forgot. Man. All right. Daryl's killing it with these bumpers, and there's much more of that to come as we kind of lean into the rebooting the Training Dummies here coming up soon. But, all right, all that being said, why don't you, Seraphie, to tell us a little bit about mages leading into Legion with kind of, I don't know, what was it with Dadgar and kind of kicking that off? So what was going on with mages?
Admittedly, it's been a while since I started the Mage Order Hall quest because, you know, that was the first class that I always start with in every expansion because that's what I main. Well, obviously, Dadgar is back. Yay. And we got the most powerful mage in Azeroth back. And it really kind of kicks off with, you know, Jaina leaving. And so we don't have one of the members of the Council of Six anymore for the Kirin Tor. And so it's like, okay, well, what do we do? And the Mage Order Hall is the, a library. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Yeah, so it's upstairs. It's upstairs in Dalaran, right? It's the whole...
No, I believe it's actually located in Tirith Fall Glades. It's the original Guardian of Tirith Fall Library.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah, and so you run into a lot of, like, old mages, which is pretty cool. We have Meryl, who is the one who you get all of your quests for your artifact weapons, you know, the fire weapon, the frost weapon, and the arcane weapon. He doesn't realize he's dead, so that's very interesting to deal with. And then he gets sick, and it's like, dude, come on, you're forsaken. You're not allowed to die on us. Not yet. And you have Kalagos as a follower that you can actually pick up. Like, he's kind of not really disowned, but kind of stepped down from being the leader of the Blue Dragonflight, and he is a member of the Council of the Six now. And you pick up him as well as Archmage Mora, who's another member of the Council of the Six. Like, they're the first two Order Hall followers that you pick up as a mage. So it's like, hey, cool, people that we know. And, you know, then you start, like, slowly opening things up in your Order Hall. You can choose which weapon you want to go with first. And, you know, you have the Sunstrider sword. And then you have Ebonchill. And then you have the arcane weapon. So, yeah, it's like each one is a very, very powerful mage weapon that is steeped in a lot of, like, mage lore and family history and importance. So it's pretty cool, like, learning the history of mages just through these weapons.
So, because I know some of these, there was manufactured lore and manufactured artifact weapons just for Legion, like stuff we've never heard of before. Is the mage weapons, are these weapons that are from lore previously, or is it, were they manufactured for Legion just to give everyone some powerful new item?
These were ones that were known previously, as far as I know, especially the fire weapon. The fire weapon, I'm completely blanking out, Fellow Malorn, the, you know, family sword of the Sunstrider family, like Prince Kael'thas. And when you get that weapon, the first thing you do is you talk to Aethys Sunreaver, who some of you who have read Tides of War will remember. He was the member of the Kirin Tor who betrayed Jaina and the Kirin Tor to the Horde by breaking down the defenses of Theramore when it was under siege and when Garrosh was trying to destroy it. And he's been exiled from Dalaran for doing that. And he's trying to kind of get his way back in. I still don't trust him. But he tells you, I know who has this Fulomalorn. I know where it is. I can help you. You know, please just let me back into Dalaran to do this. Let me talk to the council. You know, I promise my information is good and everything like that. And it's like, fine, fine, fine. Let him back in. He talks to the council. And then you're transported to ICC, Ice Crown Citadel, because Kael'thas had lost the weapon in his fight with Arthas before Arthas ascended the throne. And so presumably Arthas found the weapon after the fight and kept it as kind of like a trophy. And so once you're in ICC, Bolvar, who's the current Lich King, speaks to you. And he's basically saying, hey, I know why you're here. And I'm not going to stop you from trying to take this weapon because I don't care about it. But I'm not going to just let you waltz in here and take it easily. So it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And so, you know, you fight some little minions. And it's like, oh, hey, I know this place. And finally, you get to kind of a boss figure. She's a distant relative of Kael'thas. She is a member of the Sunstrider family. But she had no claim to the throne, but she is deranged and she has been resurrected as a Death Knight. And she believes that she's the only one worthy of wielding Fulomalorn. And so basically you have to kill her a second time in order to claim it for yourself.
All right. What about the frost weapon? What do we need to do to get that one?
That one is Ebon Chill. It's kind of a strange two-part quest. It gives you two quests simultaneously to work on that. The first one takes you to Karazhan, where you come across a small campsite that's deserted and overrun by monsters, like little arcane monsters. And you have to take an item that's left behind after you run into the memory of one of the mages who was there to try and protect it. And after you do that, you have to go to Aladai. His ghost is in your order hall. And he gives you a token to get into his personal vault in Dalaran, because he apparently has some powerful gems that you need for a ritual in order to summon a demon. What is it with frost mages and demons?
Want to be
in a order? It's true. It's very true. You have to, you know, use these gems in a ritual in order to summon a demon who has Ebon Chill. And
wait, you said Ebb and Chill, right?
Yes.
Is that like Netflix and Chill, or is that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you know, I've met a couple of mages. I don't know.
It's okay. And so the second part, you can kind of do this simultaneously. I just preferred to, you know, do the Karazhan part and then get the gems from Aladai's vault. And it takes you to a warlock who was part of the original ritual to summon this demon who ended up taking Ebon Chill, because he was originally a mage, and after they summoned this demon, he decided, I'm not a mage anymore, I'm gonna be a warlock. And so he puts you through this very easy trial of, you know, killing a bunch of imps and a few other warlock minions. And then he's like, all right, well, here you go, you're ready to summon this demon. And so that's when you go to the dimension where the demon has it, and it's a pain. This fight is actually kind of a pain. And
I remember it being there's probably like five or six of the specs like across the board that I thought were just harder than any of the other ones, and this was definitely one of them.
I admittedly ended up doing it as fire spec because I already had my fire weapon. Mm. And it's just like, so you go to Asuna and you have Meryl with you. You have Aladai's ghost with you. Although Aladai's ghost is actually greatly weakened outside of your order hall, so he's not that much help. But you go into, you know, the portal and you defeat the demon finally, and you have Ebon Chill. It's like, yay, finally.
Wait, so frost. What percentage of mages do you think actually wish that they were warlocks instead?
Well, considering frost mages can summon an elemental anyway, probably say a good two-thirds.
Two-thirds, dang, nice. Okay. All right. I
don't want to be a warlock. They're stinky.
Hey. I don't stink much.
All right. Yeah, so
what is the story of Ebon Chill? What is this legendary weapon that we've just retrieved from this demon?
I believe Ebon Chill was actually Aladai's weapon, the original weapon of the first Guardian of Tirith's Fall, because that's who Aladai was.
Oh, okay, cool.
I didn't pay that much attention to the history behind it because I don't like Frost.
That's fair. All right. So what does that leave us left? Arcane, then, hey?
Yeah, that leaves us with Arcane. And I try to repress these memories because Arcane is my least favorite spec for Mage. Really? Yeah. I call it the one-button wonder.
Well, it was in Kata, but...
And in Lich King.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a while since it was 1-1-1-1-1, right?
Yeah, but... Lich
now,
King.
Now it's like 1-1-1-1-2, 1-1-1-1-3, 1-1-1-1-2. Exactly. So yeah. So it's
I mean,
way,
I was way up forced
their game by like 50%.
I was forced to play Arcane for like a couple weeks back in Lich King, and ever since then I've just called it the one button wonder because I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at that point you don't even really need any macros or anything really to help you out. So.
Yeah, and so you find out with the arcane weapon, which also creeps me out because it talks to you.
Nice.
You start out talking to Caligos, and he's like, hey, something's going on with the Blue Dragonflight and the Vaults of the Nexus, which is the home of the Blue Dragonflight and where they keep a lot of very important, very powerful magical artifacts that should not be in mortal hands. And so he's like, hey, can you go check out, you know, the Azure Dragon Shrine for me up in Northrend? So it's like, okay, cool. You know, teleport to Wormrest Temple, go to the Azure Dragon Shrine, and it's like, oops! Malygos left behind a big old mess, much bigger mess than we had anticipated, and he was in it deep with the Ethereals, who originally showed up back in Burning Crusade. Uh-huh. And it's like, great job, Malygos! Great job! And so... you realize that he had set something up with them because they are siphoning off like all of this arcane magic from the Dragon Shrine. And it's obviously very severely impacting the Azure Dragon's ability to, you know, harness and kind of help not really control, but funnel and shape the magic in Azeroth because they are the guardians of magic. And so then it's like, well, from there, we hop over to the Nexus. You know, where the Oculus dungeon is and everything. And so you have to blow up some spots that Malygos set up that he left the Ethereals in charge of. It's like, oh, hey, great. That's cool. Because the Ethereals are not the potential allies that they seemed to be back in Burning Crusade.
Mm.
You know, here it's like they're very power hungry. They want all of the magical power. They want to be able to do whatever they want with it. And they don't care about what the consequences are going to be for the other races. And so you go into the Nexus dungeon and you free Azurghost from the cage that he has been stuck in by the Ethereals. And a lot of people remember Azurghost as, I believe, a world boss back in Vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it is the same one. He is now the librarian the keeper of the artifacts in the Nexus vaults.
He used to patrol Azuna, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or not Azuna. Ashera. Sorry.
Ashera.
You know what I meant.
Yeah. Wrong. Okay, yeah. And he used to be able to kite him to Stormwind.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what his job is now. So it's pretty cool to see a character that, oh hey, you know, we used to fight you back in Vanilla, and now we're helping you out.
So, I think I know the answer to this. But what spec were you when you did the arcane
fire?
All right, and there it is. I think I did them all as Frost, but I'm honestly a little more familiar with Frost, and it's easy to kind of control stuff. So, yeah.
And, you know, so once you free Azurghost, he helps you defeat the rest of the Ethereals as you go through the Nexus dungeon, which, if you've also done Taragos's Rest, you've been here before and through a very similar path when, you know, you do, I think it's the final step to get Dragonwrath.
The legendary in Cataclysm, the Firelands era. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I never did that, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the same type of path, the same similar quest to that one. And so once you get to the end, you're on like the same platform that you've been on before for Dragonwrath. He's like, I can't really help you. I'm sorry. You know, all the help I've given you has weakened me greatly. And of course, since dragons are no longer immortal, you know, he has to rest in order to get his strength back. And so basically, once you're on that platform, the staff is in the middle, and I completely didn't pay attention to what I was supposed to be doing. So I just like ran up to where the staff was, and I kept trying to click it. I'm like, why am I dying? Why am I dying? Come on, staff, staff, please, please, staff. And then I realized, oh, wait. There's three little bubbles around, you know, the edges of the platform. You have to stand in the bubbles and like put down a scroll in each one in order to kind of bind the staff and tampen down the powers it has. And this, once you do that, like all of the wards go away and the staff turns into a big whiny baby and throws a tantrum at you and says, you're not powerful enough for me. But once you have it, you know, it keeps trying to urge you to take more power and be like, I have so much potential power for you. You know, you could be the most powerful mage in the world. And like, cause this was, Aegwynn's staff. She was the last one to hold it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, she was the most powerful mage that Azeroth has ever seen, aside from her son Medivh. Yeah. So obviously this staff has got some superpowers in it.
I'm feeling some Lord of the Rings kind of vibe going on here.
But yeah, the staff is like super creepy.
When Frodo like had the ring and that, and they were with the wood elves, and that, and the main elf chick was like, oh, you could be super powerful. You should just give it to me.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the three-second version of Lord of the Rings for you there. So, all right. But, so you get what's the name of the arcane weapon again? This is hard hitting journalism. We ask the questions that other people won't ask.
I took a screenshot of it last night.
I know. I have them all. It's just been like months at this point since I've done any of it. I remembered Ebon Chill. Because I...
Aluneth.
There it is, Aluneth, yeah. So, it talks to you. So basically, 2/3 of mages want to be warlocks, and the other 1/3 want to be shadow priests? Is that what I'm understanding? Yeah.
The other third is kind of torn between wanting to be shadow priests and just wanting to watch Azeroth burn.
There you go. Alright. Nice. Alright, so we got all three weapons. Did you get your weapon first before you go and really kind of get into all the class hall stuff, or do you go to the class hall first?
You get your artifact weapons before you do a lot of the class hall stuff, since, you know, the class hall opens up as you level and you learn more about the story behind your class hall and the features of it and different things like that, you know, as you do more questing in Legion.
Well, let's get into that a little bit. I know a lot of the class hall stuff, you know, across all the different classes are very similar, but definitely, you know, apart from the aesthetics of it and being in a different area, they each have their own kind of unique threads. So, do you want to talk a little bit about what makes the mage story and what's going on there?
Oh gosh, it's been a really long time since I finished the mage story.
How about some of the like the followers? Like, do you recall that?
Oh yeah, you do receive Aethys Sunreaver as a follower, which kind of one of those things that I really kind of wish we didn't. But he's back in the good graces of the Kirin Tor and Dalaran, since he has, you know, proven himself to them at least. And like right now, he's also the best companion to have out while you're doing world quests or leveling. And when he's beside you, he's always like, together we will save Azeroth. And I'm like, I don't trust you because you already betrayed the Kirin Tor once. So
I think I have a goblin follower. I don't remember his name at the moment.
Yes, but the goblin follower. You pick him up doing magic tricks in the middle of Dalaran. And he's the one who summons a lot of the mages to your order hall for you. Like, he summons them from all over Azeroth by making portals in your order hall for them.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I know that's the one that I... He was out kind of over by the Alliance.
By the bank.
Yeah, he was over there. So, I'm trying to remember his name right now, but he's kind of... He's a goblin. He's exactly what you expect from a goblin, but...
Yes, he is.
I don't know. Some of the later ones, the most recent ones, especially the ones that you got at, was it 7.2 or 7.25, that automatically started off at a higher item level and leveled up, like, some of those seemed a little better on alts that were, like, you could just straight up, you know, get this bodyguard going. You didn't have to worry about, like trying to level it up first.
Oh, yeah. Without having to worry, like, level or gearing them, it's so much easier. So much easier. Because I remember, like, struggling on my mage just to try and, like, you know, get the items to put into their little slots to help me with missions for them. And then getting them up to the gear level that they needed to be, and then getting them to level 110. It's just, oh, man, it was difficult.
So Vargoth gives you, if you have him tagged as your bodyguard, he gives you a 20% damage bonus, huh?
Oh, does he?
Just out in the, yeah, I'm kind of poking around through some of the stuff here that, like, everyone's recommending him because you get a buff from him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's really helpful, especially if you're leveling, because I know you get him fairly early on, because he was kind of fun to get. He was a little crazy. You had to send out a bunch of missions because he would, like, leave clues about where he was all over the place, all over the Legion zones, and you'd send, like, follower missions out to get them, and then you would go and confront him yourself, finally, to get him as a follower.
So this goblin dude, I was going to say his name, but I don't even think, I don't even know, drunk or sober, if I could even say this, guys. It's like... Akazamarakazak.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. He's like a little goblin with a top hat that thinks he's just like a kind of a mage goblin-y dude, but yeah. Have you, Daryl, have you leveled up your mage at all? Or?
Nope. My wife has a mage. It's level 110. Does that count?
Oh, yeah. Raids on it, but yeah. I just didn't know like how familiar you were with
I think I have a level 30 mage. Who's in Ashen Vale the last time I played it, or something like that.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. You're almost there, man.
Oh, yeah, almost. So, yeah, no, I've never really leveled a mage before. That's why we're doing this,
and here this I am
show,
before.
So I can hear the story.
All right, so let's get a little bit in. I know you said that it's been a while, but what do you recall about some of the mage story that really stuck out to you?
Honestly, that all the mages are actually kind of old. Like, they're all really old. And it's just kind of surprising because it just seems like Jaina was the last really powerful, relevant mage to come out of Warcraft. And she's in-game almost 40 at this point. And during Legion, obviously, we don't know what's going on with her. Obviously, you know, we're going to see her in Battle for Azeroth. But during most of Legion, we don't know. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, even her former lover, Caligos, doesn't know what's going on with her, and Khadgar doesn't either. And surprisingly enough, Khadgar doesn't have a lot to do with the Mage Order Hall.
Oh, you said she's almost 40 now, huh?
Yeah.
I respect that. 40. As a man who's also older than that. I respect that.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that Khadgar didn't have more of a hands-on experience with mages. Because, you know, he is the head of the Council of Six now, and he is the most powerful mage in Azeroth.
So with Jaina gone, like, is that part of your story? Do you become part of the Order of Six?
No. That would be really cool.
Oh, okay.
But no. No, we do not. I don't think that they did anything really with her vacancy during Legion, or at least it didn't seem to happen with the Mage Order Hall.
All right. What's next? It'd be the class mount. So what?
Yeah, I guess
the most disappointing mount in the game.
No way, it's a fidget spinner, right?
It's a disc. Yeah.
Mine's another flying horse, and I already had a flying horse, so now I have another flying horse. So yeah.
Okay, so we know that leading up to the class mount and the additional follower, like, most of it was with the Broken Shore unlocking, and then however many, I forget at this point, however many 8, 10, whatever weeks it was of just kind of like drip feed quests and stuff. So what do you think, what do you think that picked up from there? Getting the new follower and getting the mount. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
As far as the mount goes, it was kind of a letdown for mages. It was a difficult instance to have to solo, and it's just a disc. It's a melding of like three parts of a disc that each represent the three elements that mages have control over, you know, arcane, fire, and frost. And it changes, the little effects on it change depending on which spec you're in at the time. But just overall, it was just kind of like, that's it. I get a disc. I get a recolor of the disc from Pandaria. That's my mount.
Oh, yeah, the Ninja Turtles sewer lid one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
With the little cloud. Yeah. I don't know. I don't hate the disc. It's got the little stream, you know, little slipstream things coming off.
And it's nice because if I have a little companion pet out, they get their own little disc, which is cute.
That's cool. Yeah. That's actually really cool. Nice.
But, like, that's the only benefit I see to it.
which follower do you get then with the once you unlock all that?
I don't recall, because I have all the followers for my mage, so I'm not sure which one came with that.
Well, what did you have to do to get that mount then? Because there's a little bit of story in with all the mounts. So what was it for, the class mount for the mages?
You're really asking the tough question.
Yeah.
I was like, I did it as soon as it was available, and I'm just like kind of zipping right through it. Oh gosh, it was something about like bringing the elements back together or evening them out, I think.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So that's why it's got all three in the mount.
Yes.
So that the goblin follower dude, is he the one that you get after? He's like the final one you get? I'm trying to remember.
I don't think he was the final one you get, but I think he did come later on. Like, he wasn't an early on follower.
Yeah, I know some of them, like some of the earlier ones, depending on class, you can't even assign them as bodyguards. But I know that Vargoth it seems to be like the definite go-to.
Yeah.
Milhouse Man of Storm is a pretty good one.
Milhouse was fun.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch. So Aethys Sunreaver, the Arcane Destroyer. Yeah, I like that guy too. Kallek, Modera, Vargoth, Verandi, Meryl, Fellstorm, Milhouse. Yeah, a bunch of these. I'm trying to remember the exactly kind of, because each one of them kind of has a little bit of a unique process you go through to get the to get the follower itself.
Well, except for Modera and Kallek, those are just, hey, go recruit these.
Oh yeah, and they're just like hanging out in your class hall. What are some of the key things that stuck out to you about the mage? You know, being a mage this expansion that you really liked.
Just, I think, finally tying into being a guardian of Tirith's Fall and being powerful. And when you are a fire mage, when you go out into the Legion leveling zones, you run into people who recognize the weapon that you're using. They know Philoma Lorne. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, you must be so powerful because I can barely touch this sword because it's so hot and it must not be bothering you. So you're like amazing. You're like, you are the true heir to this. And with Frost, it was really cool to see, not visions, but memories of former wielders of Ebon Chill all around Dalaran. Like, seeing their echoes. Because you have Ebon Chill, you actually get a quest to find the memory of a former council member who had wielded it in the city. And one of them is a dragon who's on top of the herbology trainer's building in Dalaran. And there's another one who is like in the Dalaran Inn. And there's one who hangs out just outside the Violet Citadel. So it's like interacting with these major lore characters who you've only heard about in WoW. And, you know, having them give you some kind of blessing for wielding the weapon that was once theirs. Or, you know, like I said, with fire, running into all these people who are, like, in awe of the fact that you're wielding Philoma Lorne. Like, they're all blood elves, mm-hmm. and they're all so proud of their history. And they're so happy to see someone wielding something that has been a huge part of their people for so long.
I think I may be wrong because this is different for a different some of the different artifacts. But I think the Fellow Malorn, that's one of those ones as you're walking around, like NPCs will actually ask you if they can see it.
They're like,
oh, dude, awesome. Can I see it? And then if you say yes, it'll reward you like a real small artifact power or something like that. But
yep.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff like unique to the different artifacts. And I always thought that was cool. I'm walking, out in a zone somewhere, and all of a sudden an NPC is just like, holy crap, I can't believe you have that. Can I see it? And it's like, just, I don't know, that level of detail and immersion is like really cool.
Yeah, like one of the ones for Fellow Malorn is the blacksmith trainer in Dalaran.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh my gosh, can I just hold it for a second? And he's the one who comments that it's so hot he can barely handle it. So you must be exceptionally powerful in order for it not to bother you.
So I think you're touching on this a little bit earlier. The whole thing with Vargoth was that he had been captured and replaced with a traitor. So you have to stop that traitor to get him as a follower, or do you recall how that played out?
No, Vargoth kind of had lost his mind and like he left clues about where he had been going and where he was. And so you have to kind of hunt him down and kick his butt a little bit to get him as a follower.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it because it's been a while for me. I know that there was this whole thing about there being a traitor in the Council of Six, and then you have to kind of navigate through that a little bit. So he went crazy, and then you have to go through his
dragon back.
Yeah, all right, that's fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I like that though. Like, so you feel like you don't trust him now, or do you feel like there's still more to that story, or?
Vargoth, I don't have a problem with. Aethys Sunreaver, I do. Aethys was the one who betrayed Theramore and the Kirin Tor to the Horde by lowering the defenses around Theramore during the siege before Garrosh dropped the mana bomb. He's the one I don't trust. Like, I do not trust him whatsoever.
So we know that you're, mage through and through. Are you Alliance through and through, or are you kind of like dabble in?
I'm a Blood Elf. I play the Horde. I bleed red.
Well, then why do you hate this guy who let them in to destroy Theramore?
Because like, he had sworn allegiance to the Kirin Tor, and he betrayed the Kirin Tor.
Oh.
So that's my big problem with him.
Yeah, but it was for the Horde.
It still doesn't make it right.
Yeah, being a jackass is not a good enough excuse.
No, it's not.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, then how hyped are you for Jaina to come back?
I cried when they showed her in the Battle for Azeroth.
Okay, so let me take a second here. When they showed that, and they showed Jaina, and she full on had the Elsa Let It Go side ponytail. There was a moment there where I was like, I don't think I'm Horde anymore. I think I'm Alliance now.
Yeah.
And I was like, if that's Jaina, then I'm all in, right? And then almost. You did not see one single speck of anything about her the whole rest of all of the opening ceremonies and any of the other trailers or anything. So, like, what the heck? They can't do that. They can't show you, like, 2 seconds of Jaina like that, and then that's it. What's going on with that?
Well, she was in the What's Coming Up panel as well. They did show a full body image of her new outfit. All right.
Well, excuse me as I cue that up here real quick.
I have a screenshot of it saved.
Nice.
Yeah, all right. That's still on demand for, what, like a month or something? I missed a bunch of panels.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch.
Yeah, I found it very interesting because originally her outfit was like silver, gold, purple, and white. Very mage-oriented, very... very Kirin Tor. That's where her allegiance obviously was, and her clothing reflected that. And now she shows back up after being in Kul'Tiras, and she is decked out in blue, white, and gold. So obviously her allegiance has shifted. She's no longer... She's probably broken ties with the Kirin Tor at this point, and she's very much just ready to swear fealty to Anduin and be a member of the Alliance.
towards the beginning of the expansion, you know, when she was there and Dadgar was like, hey, you know, we need to, I know it's not what you want, but we need to let the Horde back in. You know, there's just some, there's some stuff going down here and we just gotta, we kind of got to work together. And she, that's, I think that's where everybody kind of like, there's some mixed feelings about Jaina at that point where she kind of lost it and stormed off, you know?
I can definitely understand those mixed feelings. I felt very torn about that because I love Jaina. I bleed red, but I love Jaina. And it was very hard for me to see her still so angry and so just isolating, not just to the Horde, but specifically to Blood Elves because of what Aethys Sunreaver did. I mean, I can't blame her for her anger at him, but I feel that it's unfair to the rest of the Blood Elves that she continues to hold that grudge against them as an entire race.
Well, so how do you think that works then? Because, like, okay, Garrosh is done now. So that, like, that whole piece of the story is kind of, you know, put down, put in the past. But is it because maybe Thrall isn't around anymore? Because she was pretty tight with Thrall. So that kind of gave her, you know, she certainly wasn't a member of the Horde or a representative, but she, you know, there was a relationship there for a long time. Do you think that maybe if Thrall comes back into the picture, like some of that damage can be repaired? Or
I am not sure, since he won't be war chief. Since, you know, basically got confirmation that Sylvanas is very much comfortable with the war chief title, which makes me so happy. But I guess from my understanding, we are going to see Thrall again in Battle for Azeroth. I'm not sure if her previous friendship with him will be enough to repair the damage that has been done.
Well, I thought I had heard this somewhere, but didn't she blame Thrall for putting Garrosh as the war chief, which eventually led to Theramore being destroyed?
Yes, she very much did blame Thrall. Okay, so, and it's true. Thrall put him into power. You know, Thrall appointed him, so
he did, but Jaina and Thrall, like, their relationship was I don't know, was a little more resilient than what Garrosh's mistakes, I would assume. I don't know.
Considering Garrosh was single-handedly responsible for killing just about everyone that Jaina loved, you know, including Kindi and Payne and Ronan, who was the one who saved her life, you know, I don't think that she's ready to forgive for all that.
So I have a confession here. As much as I don't like gnomes, I actually like Kindi. Like, she was in this book.
I adore Kindi.
They brought her into this book, and they made you love her, and then she's gone. It was like, man, that's so mean.
And her dad is the one who lights the torches in Dalaran every night in Northrend.
Oh, that's awesome.
What they added after Tides of War was Kindi's portrait is actually above each one when he lights it.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that. I remember hearing, it may have been like Lore Watch or something with Ant. I remember Ant's talking about that. But yeah, let's see. It's that attention to detail that's just really powerful. I love that stuff.
And I'm preparing the boxes of tissues because I know Christy Golden's going to rip our hearts out again in the new
novel. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm ready, though. I'm ready.
I'm never ready.
So what do you think, you know, having been a mage player for such a long time now, what's something that you think that maybe they could have done a little bit better, or something that, like, didn't quite strike all the right notes for you?
Probably having Khadgar be more involved with the Mage Order Hall. Like, I feel like having him involved would have been really nice, because you are a mage. You know, obviously he's the most powerful mage in Azeroth, and I feel like having him acknowledge you in the Order Hall, or having him just be there to help get things running through that. Yeah, I get it. He's busy trying to save Azeroth with Illidan and stuff, but he's a mage. Come on.
So you don't think, like, his presence, like, basically, he was involved in almost every opening for most of the zones on some level, right? I still, there's a couple of tunes that I haven't even done Azuna on, just because I didn't feel like it. And every time I run by, there's Khadgar there. Azuna awaits, champion. I'm like, I know, dude. It's fine. So you don't think that, like, just having him around was enough? You would have hoped that he could have been maybe a little more plugged in, or been in the order hall, or maybe kind of, like, you know, handing out a few mage-specific quests? Or
yeah, I really think that that would have helped a lot as a mage.
Fair enough. I could see that. You know, he's been a very big character now for a couple of expansions, so you could see that. As a mage, you would kind of want more from him. Do you think he played a role in chasing Jaina often? Do you think him pushing to get the Horde back into Dalaran was what pushed her over the edge? Or
no, I think it was Anduin that pushed her over the edge.
Man, see, because I thought her and Anduin were bros. Or
no, because it's in the throne room of Stormwind when she teleports herself to Kul Tiras, and that's when she disappears.
Man, I feel like I know this, but I missed it. It's been either so long, right? I don't know. Was that in the Legion stuff?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to
because I leveled an Alliance side mage.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I wanted to see both sides of the story. Yeah. I wanted to see both sides, so I made sure that I leveled my Alliance mage.
Yeah, I've leveled one Alliance tune so far this expansion to see the story, and then all I did was skip most of it because I just wanted to get to 110. So
man, yeah, it was very early in the expansion. She's talking to Anduin in the throne room, and she says something about how, like, the Horde betrayed us at the Broken Shore, and why can't you see that? And he's just like, no, you know, it can't be that bad. I think that there's something that we're missing. And she just gets really upset and she just leaves.
See, but I guess I feel like Anduin's right, but there's no way that they would have known that.
Yeah.
Did they add in anything in 7.3 for the mage quests? Now, I know they did for warlocks, or at least I'm sure I didn't see it before 7.3, and I still haven't done it, but Khadgar has a quest for demonology only, and I haven't done it because I don't play demonology. So every time I fly over Dalaran, there he is, this exclamation point sticking up above his head. But did they add anything extra in 7.3 for the mages?
No, I don't believe they did. I haven't seen it anyway.
I don't think there's been a lot of class-specific stuff that's happened since the class mount and the additional follower, I think, right?
Yeah.
Was there any Illidan-specific mage story, or... I feel like that.
I don't think so.
Pretty much Demon Hunters that got all that stuff.
I think that was very specifically Demon Hunters, because I have a 106 Demon Hunter that I need to finish leveling to.
Yeah, do it. Demon Hunters are good.
All right, well, before we wrap this up, is there anything else about the Mage story you think we need to know, or that we might not have covered already?
I don't think so, other than the Mage Tower challenge thing is, well, I have a lot of opinions on that one.
Oh yeah, like
none of them pleasant.
Wait, so opinions in terms of like the story that's going on, or just like how what a pain in the rear it is?
How I still haven't been able to do it.
Are you like item level 987 or whatever?
I think I'm somewhere around like 920.
Yeah, see, but... from what I understand, it was supposed to be like fairly reasonable to do at, you know, LFR normal. Tomb of Sargeras gear.
Yeah, that's what I have. And, I have heroic Tomb of Sargeras gear on, but for the fire mage, it's going up against the Imp Mother, and I get her down to like 40%, and that's it, because I have no self heals, and it's basically how long can you survive like a tank. It's like, I'm not built to be a tank.
Wait. Okay, so fire mages, don't they have the Blink, Shimmer, Heal, yeah, like...
Yeah, we have Shimmer, but that only does so much. And when there's nowhere to stand because there is stuff all over the floor, you know, it's kind of hard to survive that.
I realize at this point the reason that I don't have some of the class challenge stuff done is just because I haven't done it. Because, like, the Demon Hunter DPS one, it's not hard, but it's like, you have to... take a very specific build, and then there's like a halfway point in the fight where you have to put down the tome and change a bunch of talents, and like it's just like super annoying. Like it's not that hard. People did it at like fairly, you know, 890, 900 item levels, so I know it's not bad. It's just like I don't feel like I just want to put in the effort, really. It's something it's just like too much of it's too annoying, and I just don't feel like doing it. But I want the appearance. It looks amazing. But
yeah, I really want the challenge appearance because it matches my transmog perfectly. But
that is valid reason. That's a very valid reason.
Yeah, transmog anxiety is a real thing.
It is. Yeah, I did.
My mage looks like a priest right now because I couldn't find any other transmog that matched the sword that I wanted to use.
See, there's more proof. Mages want to be warlocks or shadow priests. More proof. All right. Okay, well, I guess that's it for mages then. If you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests you have heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person...
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shoutouts this evening?
Definitely Seraphita for taking a little bit of time and coming and hanging out with us and talking about mages. Shout out to you, Daryl, for all of your hard work and making these sweet bumpers. And I really, really enjoy them. And all the folks over at Had One Job, even though the guild name is spelled properly yet awkwardly. Thanks, Daryl. Yeah, just thanks to the raid team. Thanks everybody that we get to meet at BlizzCon. Man, I just like we'll do a BlizzCon episode here soon, like probably very soon. But man, that was an amazing experience. And just thank you to everybody who I bumped into out there. Daryl, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned everyone at BlizzCon, but yeah, specifically. Everyone in the guild and all our close friends who we got to hang around with a fair bit on over the, you know, few days that was BlizzCon. I know this was probably my favorite BlizzCon. I've been to four and this was probably my favorite, just because of how many of us there were and, you know, how much time we spent together. It was a lot of fun. You play games with these people all the time, but there's just something more to hang out with these people in person where you're not playing any games at all. You know, it's just something adds something extra special to the relationship. So yeah, big shout out to everyone I saw there. And anyone else, like you said, who's not in the guild, but I met lots of great people this time around. The one person I didn't see this year was you, Seraphita. And I think I've seen you every other year I've been there. Even my first year there, we were on the World of Podcast panel together. So, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we were.
Yeah.
So, that was back when Dalaran Academy was still around and just started. There you go.
So that was my first BlizzCon, was that one. And last panel of the night, but we were both on it. But yeah, and a big shout out to you thank you for coming on and talking to us about mages this evening. It's very much appreciated. Take some time out of your schedule and come chat with us. Do you have any shout outs this evening?
I do. I'd like to shout out to both of you. Huge thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I don't get to geek out about mages all that much, so I very much appreciate the opportunity. And to my guild, Onslaught, over on Tychondrius, who are amazing. They have welcomed me, you know, in the middle of Nighthold progression and carried me through so many raids and helped me when I stumbled and just, like, helped me get through a lot of those raids. So, huge thank you to them. And of course, my family over at Rockus Esports were one of the best. And they're such a great group of people.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, Seraphita, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
They can reach me on Twitter at Seraphita or on Twitch, also Seraphita. I keep the name consistent because it's easier that way.
Nice.
Well, I believe that wraps up episode 180 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!